of you. And so when you're here, I'm strengthened more. And hopefully when I'm here, you're strengthened more. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We need each other. We will get right into it today. We're going to teach about 7 hours of lesson in 40 minutes. Praise God's going to happen. I feel it today. I'm going to make it to the end of this lesson. Praise God. I'm encouraged today that this lesson's going to go well. Praise God. Because we're going to talk about two unnamed, seemingly unimportant women in Scripture. Two unnamed. A poor one and a rich one. Unnamed. But valuable lessons from their life. We're going to be talking about true riches. True riches. Turning to Luke 12 and 15, our focus verse. Turn faster, we don't have much time. All right. Here we go, Luke 12, 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. What is covetousness? About the greedy longing to have more. Beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Say that 10 times. Whew, gotta love the King James Version. They add TH to words just for the fun of it. Covetousness, the greedy longing to have more. A man's life consisteth not. A lot of opposite definitions. Consisteth not of the abundance of things which he possesseth. I'll get it. I nailed it. All right. Here we go. Our focus thought today. If we can be focused for just one moment, that'd be my mind this morning. It's all over the place. I'm going to be focused. Our focus thought is the true wealth of peace, joy, security, and hope is found in our relationship with God. Does anybody believe that this morning? It is not in the things that we have possessed or gathered over the years. We were over at the Kenai United Pentecostal Church, and they are getting ready for a garage sale, or they maybe already had it yesterday, of things, just stuff that you collect over time. And we went over, we had saw a cabinet or a something or other that we wanted to grab, so we ran over there and somehow managed to fit it in the car. I have no idea how that thing went in there, but it went in pieces and came out in pieces and went back together. I don't know how that happened, but it did. But the stuff, tables and tables and tables and tables of trinkets and small things and stuff that was given and stuff that was purchased. And I think we all, especially around this time of year, it is springtime, and we start thinking about cleaning out our closets and our junk drawers and all of those things. And we find things. Why did I buy that? Why do I still have this? I'm hanging on to a broken cell phone and the charger. Don't lose the charger for the broken cell phone in the drawer. Stuff. We just buy stuff all the time. We're at Fred Meyer's is making a killing off of you and I. And most of the stuff falls apart or we have no purpose for it after that one little time that we needed it. I've got to learn to borrow stuff because somebody else needs to spend their money and I need to put mine in the bank and just use theirs. Praise God. Don't buy a boat. Go with Brother Norm. Amen. Praise God. Thank the Lord for Brother Norm. Right? True wealth and peace, joy, security, and hope is found only in our relationship with God. Amen. A life that is lived to the glory of God is much more valuable than any earthly asset. When you're at home alone and you're sitting and your body is racked with pain. The things that you have around you are not going to be your comfort. They are not going to be your healer. Only in that relationship that we have with God will we find our healing and our joy and our satisfaction and all of the things that are really the quality of this life. God rewards all His children, regardless of race, gender, social class, and net worth. I'm thankful for that. You don't have to reach some kind of status in order for God to bless you or to minister to your life or to attend this church. Praise God. Everybody is welcome. And God will minister to and bless and reward, praise God, all types, all kinds. Praise God. From everywhere, from here to there. Praise God. Sound like Dr. Seuss this morning. While in this life on earth, a believer is much richer as well. We look around us and we can sometimes get that covetousness, that longing for, oh, if I could just have Brother Norm's boat. I'm picking on him this morning because I never get to see him. Praise God. But we look around and we see other people that have some things that maybe we would like, but and think maybe we're not as blessed as they are. But when it comes down to it, if we understand what blessings really are, it is not the things, but it is the relationship with God. When we understand that all believers are more blessed in this life than non-believers. God has a way of enriching our lives with so many blessings. Are we deserving? No. But He loves us. Praise God. And we are truly blessed. Money cannot buy peace. It cannot buy joy. It can't buy hope. Only God can give that. Well, North Americans, that would be you and I and the lower 48, North Americans, and even Canadians are in there too. They're Americans. They just don't know it. They're North Americans. Focus. All right. We have more gadgets, more luxuries than ever before. Who's got the latest phone? Oh, my. I've been tempted multiple times. Well, it's only $25 a month for the rest of your life. Or you can just hang on to the current working phone that you have that might be 1 millimeter smaller in screen size. Yeah. Right? Help us, Jesus. We have more gadgets and luxuries today than ever before. They also take more medications for emotional disorders and seek counseling for more social and inferiority issues than any previous generation. That's us. That's your neighbors. That's the community that we live in. More anxiety, more emotional disorders, highly medicated, trying to find peace and joy in this life. Praise God. I'm thankful for a hope that we have. But I'm also thankful that we can live in this life with peace and with joy. Praise God. We don't have to wait until we get to heaven to find our smile. Praise God. Sister Sherry found it a long time ago and it stuck. Amen. Amen. We can find joy and peace here on this earth living for God. Praise God. He wants us to live an abundant life full of peace and joy and strength and healing. Praise God. Amen. So, now that I've squandered 10 minutes on the introduction, we're going to talk about two unnamed but very important women in Scripture. Joram, son of Ahab, who was reigning over Israel. It depends on if you're from Canada or from Alaska or from the lower 48, how you say that. Right. So I didn't say it incorrectly. I said it three different ways. Amen. He continued in the sins of Jeroboam by worshiping golden calves and by not honoring the Lord. And so this is the environment in which these two women are living in. This is the reign, the government, those that are over them, over the land, are living this idolatrous life, not honoring God. And during this time, there was a school of prophets, apparently started by Elijah, seemed to have continued under the leadership of Elisha. Men and women of God were learning and sharing the goodness of the Lord. And this was in direct contrast to the leadership that was going on and the world that was going on around them, living in idolatry. The power of God is not limited by culture. The power of God is not limited by political or economic times. It, in the best of times or in the worst of times, whether the stock market is going up or rapidly going down, it doesn't matter. The power of God is not limited by what is going on around us. In the best of times and the worst of times, God still shows himself powerful to those who believe. God still shows himself powerful. God's people must be careful not to become caught up in the times in which they live. We get distracted from the glory of the eternal God. We get distracted. It is so easy to get distracted in the world in which we live. There is so much to do. And so little time to do it. Easy to get distracted. These two homes in Israel, in particular these two women, show us the radiance of the Lord, no matter how dim or how bright one's personal situation in life is, God's radiance will shine. A person could easily develop a personal view of self-worth based on net worth. I've seen people do that before. Well, I don't have the best clothes. I don't think I can go to that church because they dress up. And I don't have dress-up clothes. I'm not worth. I don't have the worth to go to that church. And I pray that we don't project that in any way. Yeah. I say, come as you are. Yeah. Come with the best that you can. Yeah. And just get here. Because it's about the relationship with you and Jesus Christ. It's not about the tie around your neck. Praise God. Get here. Get here. Praise God. We don't want to base our self-worth on our net worth. We want to base our self-worth on Jesus Christ. Amen. These two women, they are unnamed in the biblical text, show us that eternal things are untouched by present financial matters. One woman had absolutely nothing, yet through her God revealed his abundance. Another woman seemed to have everything, yet God revealed what she lacked. In Jesus' name. What good are earthly treasures when most of us will spend less than a century on this earth? What good are having storage houses full when your time is up? What good does it do you to have all of these things and be lost? Rather than pursuing self-serving treasures, the child of God must see the importance of selfless treasures, those that are invested in eternal things, in eternal things. The two nameless women, their stories fit in every society throughout history. There's always going to be rich. And Jesus said, the poor will always be with you. We're not going to solve the poor issue. There will always be poor. There will always be rich. There'll always be the rest of us. Praise God. We probably fit somewhere in the middle of all of that. But they will always be with us. And so these stories will fit into every society throughout history. The poor woman, this woman in 2 Kings 4, did not just lack earthly goods. She was in debt. Debt is bad. Right? Praise God. If we learned anything from Dave Ramsey, debt is bad. Right? All right. So her husband had passed away, leaving her with unpaid debts and no income. Sometimes life just hands you a bad deal, right? Sometimes things are just an overwhelming situation that you can do nothing about. This woman risked the loss of her two sons if she could not come up with the money. They would be taken away and work off the debt of their father. She had something valuable, though. It was her faith in God. Rather than surrendering to her current situation, she turned to a power greater than wealth. She knew the true source that meets every need came from above. If I can just connect to the source, if I can just connect to that source, my needs will be supplied. If I can just connect to him. She had something extremely valuable, and that is her faith. Don't ever lose your faith. Amen. Praise God. Don't ever lose your faith. That is valuable to you and your walk with God. Some people can have prosperity and not let it distract them from serving the Lord. And we see the rich woman also in 2 Kings 4. She came from a different stratum or a different level in life. Her husband was a good provider. She dwelt safely and had all of her needs met. And instead of looking for more in life, she had learned the lesson the rich man in Jesus' parable had not. She invested in things beyond this life. Using her financial means and the willingness of her hardworking husband, she prioritized the things of God. It's possible to be wealthy and have a relationship with God. We don't have to live in poverty to be saved. We just have to have our priorities in the right place. Jesus needs to be first, whether you're poor or whether you're rich. No matter what status you are in life, if you put Jesus first, you can have a relationship with him and he will bless you. Praise God. Amen. 1 Timothy 6 through 8. You got that, Brother Mike?
But godliness with contentment is great gain. When we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out.
Yes.
And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Where do you want to stop?
8. Praise God. Amen. Remember, I'm honest. I got a time budget today. Praise God. Goodliness with contentment is the richest life. Godliness with contentment is the richest life. Richest life. I'll get it out here eventually. Amen. The poor woman's husband was among the sons of the prophets. The poor woman in Israel knew Elisha because her late husband had been a preacher, so to speak. As one of the prophets, he would have been a student of Elisha. He probably felt Elisha probably felt some sense of responsibility for the family. True religion cares for the fatherless.
Amen.
And the widow.
Yeah.
Praise God. Amen. The crisis of the moment. The crisis of the moment. We have been in many situations in our life where all we can see is the crisis. We don't see the end. We don't see how God's going to answer. We know that He's God. We know that He's capable.
Yeah.
But here we find ourselves in the crisis of the moment, and it's overwhelming. We don't see. We look up and we're looking, staring at the bottom of the barrel. This woman was going to lose her sons to the creditors. I couldn't imagine being in that situation, but this is where she was, and it wasn't a surprise to God. this woman found herself in this very, very horrible situation. She turned to God, knowing that God could help, this situation, this crisis in her life, it would destroy this woman to lose her husband and her sons within a short period of time. Clearly, the man of God did not have financial means to help for what she asked. What shall I do for thee? Is what he said. Tell me what thou hast in the house. In 2 Kings 4:2. This is similar to Peter's silver and gold have I none. Elijah followed his statement with hope for what God would do. Peter, such as I have, give I thee, echoes in the small way in Elisha's, what hast thou in the house? What do you got?
Yep.
What do you got? Such as she had, God was going to use. What do you have today that God can use in your life to bless you? What do you have? What do you have? Fortunately, she did not have much available. I don't have anything in the house. Well, how's that going to help? I don't have anything. Except for a pot of oil. It was almost like an afterthought. Yeah, I guess I got that. I got that. That's something. Doesn't take much. Doesn't take much for God to use it. Praise God. Just think of everything. Look at all the nooks and crannies in your life. Find something and God can use it. Praise God. Amen. Don't be ashamed of that small little tiny thing that you may have. Oh, this is something that, well, no one really is going to really appreciate this ability or this. All I really do is I'm hospitable, or it's just a small little tiny thing that, you know, I'm kind of almost ashamed of, just kind of in the corner collecting dust right now, because no, God can use that. God can multiply that and make it, turn it into something great if we will allow it and offer it. What do you got? I got nothing. Well, except this pot of oil. God works even with little. Just a boy's lunch fed thousands of people. Elisha told her to go gather as many empty vessels from her neighbors as possible. It's all right. The Egyptians funded the Israelites' journey. It's all right to borrow the pot from the neighbors. Amen. To borrow those vessels for oil. Praise God. You can borrow. Don't just borrow a few. Building faith. Praise God. Sometimes that's what you do. When you're standing up here behind this pulpit, you're building faith. Don't borrow a few. Realize you might have just a little bit, but I want you to gather as many as you can. Get as much as you can. Fill that house with vessels. Get them. Go get them. So they do. Don't borrow a few. Faith does not limit God's work, but gives Him ample room to work. The more emptiness, the more God can fill. Praise God. We want people to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Guess what? There's got to be people that need the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Amen. But emptiness, the more emptiness, the more God can fill. Once she had filled the house with empty vessels, she was to close the door and watch God go to work. I can't imagine. Cannot imagine. Close the door and start pouring. Uh-huh. Just go ahead. Just pour. The rich woman became acquainted with Elisha. She lived in Shunem and noticed that Elisha frequently passed that way. And said, hey, he's coming through an awful lot. Man of God. Why don't we bless him? We're able to do so. Let's build a room and make sure that there is a place where he can stay. And her mind was not on, well, that's going to cost an awful lot of money to add on a room to our place. And it's going to take time. It's going to take effort. And will he even consider staying with us? Is this something that I'm just going to do in vain? Have you ever thought that for the kingdom of God?
Yeah.
Your work for God is not in vain, by the way. But I'm going to build on to the house, and I'm going to make it comfortable for him. And there's going to be a bed, and there's going to be a desk and a chair. And they furnished it with a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And they just wanted it to be nice, just like we do at home for our guest rooms. We don't just throw those together. We try to make it look nice. If somebody comes and visits your home, you want that to be nice. And that is a blessing to them. You put a comfortable mattress in the guest room. Amen.
Yeah.
Here is our pull-out couch where you have to fold three ways in order to lay on it straight. Praise God. Been there, done that. And if that's the only thing you have, we'll sleep on it. We'll be thankful. Praise God. But they wanted it to be comfortable. Amen. I don't think they put a phone in that room. So that's not part of the object lesson today.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise God. Hit the button. In a time, we have this wonderful period of time where the king is presenting all of this evil around the country, and the idols and the idol worship and all of that atmosphere was surrounding this rich woman. How easy would it have been for this rich woman who was well-to-do to just forego the godly aspect of her life and give in and be a part of everything that's going on around her? Yet we don't see this. We don't see this. We see somebody that is God-conscious, somebody that wants to do good for others. Help us to not become cynical in the world in which we live, looking around and seeing all of the evil around us, and either becoming cynical in our approach to them or just joining in. It's too hard. There's too much. Stay strong in your faith. Stay strong in your faith, knowing that our help comes from the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. The rich woman, I dwell in safety with my own people, as if to say, I have need of nothing. She was doing well. I have everything I could want. What a contrast to the poor woman who was in desperate need for her family. Yet even in this home, there was room for God to work a miracle. The miracles. Praise God. I'm thankful that I serve a God of miracles. Amen. That this is not just Old Testament God that we're talking about. The God that we serve today is a God of miracles. Praise God. The miracle of the oil. She went in, she closed the door. This is the poor lady. Gathered as many vessels as she could and started pouring. God multiplied the oil she had as she poured it out in faith. When did the oil stop? No more vessels. She stopped pouring. No more vessels. She stopped pouring. God filled to the brim every vessel that was gathered. Had they gathered 5 more, had they gathered 10 more, 20 more, it would have kept going. until every vessel was filled and she stopped pouring. He instructed her to go sell this grade A cold pressed extra virgin oil for her top money. Praise God. You don't think that was the best oil that was ever made? What about the wine that was made? Was that not the best? Why did you save the best for last? This was the best oil that was ever pressed. Amen. Praise God. And it came from an old little pot that was in the corner of old oil. It's just sitting there. And the miracle of God filled every one of those vessels with the best oil available. Praise God. Hallelujah. So take your gift, take your little thing, and watch God make it into the best thing that has ever happened. Praise God. Have some faith today and watch God work in your life. God wants to pour into believers' lives today. His blessings will be in accordance to our faith. His provision will exceed our needs. Praise God. We serve a God of abundance today. Amen. The miracle of a son. I'm almost getting there. This is quite amazing. The rich woman was not in need. She had everything. It seems like everything in her life was okay. But it wasn't. She had no son. And her husband was getting up in age. The prophet spoke hope into her life. You'll have a son about this time next year. Kind of a casual statement for a prophet to make. That same statement was made to my wife and I about 19, 20 years ago. 20 years ago, I guess, at this point. By the way, you're going to have a son in about a year. Praise God. And guess what? That happened. And I think we might have had the same response. No, sir, man of God, exclamation point. Do not deceive me. Right? 2 Kings 4:16, check it out. God's promise did come true. She had a son. God provides not only necessities, but also needs on a different level. Strong friendships, wisdom, and many other things are within the realm of what God likes to do for His people. He even likes giving us our wants. Did you know that? I know you got a list, especially for those who serve Him with no ulterior motive. That's kind of a key for wants, without ulterior motives. And what are you going to use that want for? What are you going to use that want for? Is that just selfish wants, or is that a want that's going to meet a need, or it's going to help you in your mission that you are on with God? And so God likes to bless His people. We need to recognize Him as the true source of riches. Amen. Paul said in Philippians 4:12, I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Of course, none of us want to suffer. Amen. But we must be ready to live, as did the great apostle, learning to be content in whatever state we find ourselves in. That's the key. Living content in whatever situation we find ourselves in life. Whether we find ourselves in life where maybe our health isn't what it used to be, and maybe our bodies may be racked with pain, or maybe we had a good job and now we don't have a good job, and we're just making ends meet, and bills seem to be stacking up, or God has blessed us with a massive bonus and you've got all the money in the world. Whatever state we find ourselves in, we need to find ourselves content in those situations. Because it is not these earthly things. It's not even how well our bodies function anymore. It's about Him. It's about God. Because if we go through this life and we are rewarded through this life and we live a good life, whether we have ups and downs, rich or poor, and we have health issues or not health issues, when it all boils down to it, what we've done for Christ is what matters. And we will receive our reward, praise God, which is not in this earth, which is in heaven, eternity with Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. And what a great reward that will be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I am coming to a close. Praise God. One of the greatest wealths that we have that is from God is relationships. Relationships. So if the greatest wealth is relationships, the greatest poverty is the lack thereof. Not having relationships. First, a person needs a relationship, a living interaction with God. Second, we must develop meaningful relationships with those people who can best influence them for righteousness. I need this church. I need you in my life. I need good influences in my life. Praise God. And third, saints of God must reach out towards those whom they can influence in matters of faith. It's okay to take that extra 5 minutes and talk to a coworker while sitting at the table and increase or influence their faith. You may or may not ever get them to attend your church, but you can influence their faith. You can plant a seed. You can water that seed. Praise God. And at some point in their life, God will bring the increase. God will bring the increase. But we need to be influencers of those around us in matters of faith. Let's stand this morning. Praise God. A relationship with the Lord is necessary to obtain true riches. Hallelujah. There can be no relationship without revelation. We need to have a revelation of who God is. Really is. He reveals himself through the study of Scripture. We need to apply ourselves to the study of Scripture. He opens our eyes during times of prayer. We need to pray. We need to pray. Praise God. If we want treasures in heaven, we must give ourselves wholly to the Lord and also give of ourselves to others. Luke 12:34 in closing. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. We've got some needs today. We need to pray for the Ross family. They will be having a memorial service at the Kenai United Pentecostal Church at 1 p.m. on Thursday of this week. We need to pray for their family. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So thankful that Sister Ross is getting her reward. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So thankful for those examples of faithfulness throughout a lifetime. Were they perfect? Absolutely not, but they were faithful. So thankful for that. Praise God. We need to pray for William today for continued recovery. We need to continue to pray for the Wades. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And then this Thursday, we have the missionary, Brother Robinette.